Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm going to cook pad thai, which is something everybody should know how to cook because it's such a fundamental takeout staple. And once you know how to cook it, you won't need to order takeout anymore. It's delicious. It comes together pretty easily. It does require kind of a crazy looking list of ingredients, which you can see in the recipe posted on the website. But once you have the majority of those ingredients, they're the kind of thing that can just hang out in your pantry forever, for years, literally. And you only have to actually go shopping for a few fresh ingredients. So pad thai, and because you know I always like a little something on the side, I'm gonna make a little cucumber salad. It's just cucumbers and a little sort of sweet, hot, tangy dressing. So just those two things. And to get the pad thai started, the first thing we want to do is soak the noodles. And once I get that going, I can tell you a little bit more about the procedure. But what did I do? Oh, here are the noodles. The noodles are the sort of clear rice noodles. They look a little bit transparent. When you see them in the store, they're either from Thailand or Vietnam. And they're called banh pho in Vietnamese. And I cannot read the Thai, so I don't know. They're just rice flour and water. And they come in three sizes. There's a thin, super thin size, there's a medium size that looks like linguine, and then there's a thicker size that looks like fettuccine. I kind of like the thick size, the fettuccine size, but totally up to your taste. I'm putting these in a stainless steel bowl. The package I have is a 16-ounce package, and I'm using about half of that. And that's actually going to be enough to feed maybe four people, three people very generously. I usually use about 8 ounces of noodles, and we have enough for dinner, and then for two people, and then enough for two people for lunch the next day. So I put them in the stainless steel bowl, and I'm just gonna run really hot tap water on them. And the reason I use hot tap water as opposed to boiling water, which some recipes will call for, is the hot tap water just gives you a little more leeway. You can let the noodles sit and soak up water for a little bit longer, and you don't have to keep an eye on them and worry about them getting soggy. So I'm just gonna set these aside, and they should sit for about 20 minutes or so, which is fine. We'll be using that time to get everything else ready. So pad thai involves a lot of chopping, a lot of getting all things ready and putting them in bowls. This is the kind of cooking that kind of drives me crazy because I don't feel like I'm cooking until I've actually turned on a burner, and I love the comfort of having something going in the background while I'm working on something else. Pad Thai it's very heavy on mise en place, which is restaurant speak for getting your ducks in a row. It means set in place, and basically you're preparing all your things ahead of time so they're all ready, chopped the way they need to be chopped, mixed the way they need to be mixed. You're all ready to go when you actually turn on the burner and start cooking. I find that approach kind of irritating to most recipes, but it's really essential here because the actual stir frying happens really quickly and you don't have time to turn away and get other things ready. And for this reason, pad thai is actually a really good thing to start with if you're not sure, not feeling confident about cooking. This way, you really do have everything ready, and when you turn on the heat, then you're prepared. So what do we want to do? There are so many things to start chopping, it's sort of hard to think. I do know we're gonna need a couple eggs. So I'm gonna mix those, break those into a bowl, and have those ready. Two eggs. Okay, two eggs in a bowl. You want to drizzle just a little bit of water in there, like 2 teaspoons-ish. And you want a pinch of salt, and you just mix those up with a fork. Oops, and don't get so carried away with the mixing that you sloosh it out of the bowl. That's good. The other thing we want to mix up right away is our liquid, and that's this liquid mix that gives pad thai its really distinctive flavor. The liquid is a mix of rice vinegar, which pretty common, you can get that in any Chinese, Japanese, probably in your regular supermarket, and you want 1/4 cup of that. I'm just pouring this all into a liquid measuring cup, and I'll just add things one on top of the other. And then you want 1/4 cup of fish sauce. This is really the key to good Thai food. You can't really skimp on the fish sauce, unfortunately. So, rice vinegar, fish sauce, and then the third thing is tamarind. And tamarind is a very sour, I guess it's a seed pod, really. Very picky recipes. If you see a recipe that says, take your tamarind, soak it in boiling water, and press it through a sieve. Just, you don't need to do that because someone else has already done it for you and put it in a jar. And it's Thai and it's called Pure Fresh Tamarind Concentrate. And the ingredients are tamarind and water. You can also look for frozen blocks of tamarind that are made by Goya and other sort of tropical brand types. You can look for those in your grocery store in the freezer section. Or the other thing I use sometimes is a Mexican tamarind concentrate that has sugar in it, in which case I leave the sugar out later in the recipe. We'll get to that. And I'm going to put a photo of all those various products up on my website, so hopefully you can find one of those things. You want a quarter cup of the tamarind. Make it a generous quarter cup. I just say quarter cup of all these things because it's easier to remember, but put in a little extra glug of the tamarind. It can't hurt. You want that sour in the mix to offset the sort of funky saltiness of the fish sauce and the sweetness, which we're going to add now. So, sugar. Yeah, it is a shameless ingredient. There's no getting around it. I suppose you could try being very authentic and getting palm sugar. That's kind of hard to find. I'm just using regular white sugar. And I feel a little justified because I have been in Thai restaurants and seen Thai people dump actual white sugar right on their food. So, hey, I'm being authentic. Quarter cup, make it a scant quarter cup, especially if you are afraid of your pad Thai being a little too sweet. So, I would probably say that's about 3 tablespoons of sugar, and I'm just pouring that into the mix with the rice vinegar and the fish sauce and the tamarind. So that goes in there. And the last thing that goes in that mix is up to you how much. But it is hot red pepper, cayenne. I'm putting in a couple big pinches of this pepper in here because I like it spicy, but totally up to you how much you want. Okay, so we've got the eggs, we've got the sort of liquid mix. The other fussy thing I'm gonna do is peel the shrimp. You don't have to use shrimp. There's really no way to make this vegetarian, but if you don't want to eat shrimp, that's fine. You can skip this and just use tofu. And I'm actually going to use tofu as well just because I like additional texture. I buy small shrimp, not only because they're cheaper, but also in this mix you want a small thing that will soak up the liquid. There's really no quick way, no sneaky way of peeling shrimp, unfortunately. You have to grab their little legs and pull those off and then pull off the outer shell. And then the tail. You could also just delegate this job to whoever you're eating with and fry up the shrimp in their shells. That's totally fine, also. Although, again, you don't quite get the nice saucy treatment. And also, when they're small like this, you can kind of eat the shells as well. Just crunch them right up with our lovely omnivorous human teeth. But you don't have to use the shrimp. You can also use a little bit of chicken if you want. You kind of want the protein flavor to be something mild and a little sweet, like shrimp are. And speaking of the balance, when I was measuring the ingredients for the sauce back there, that's probably the only time you'll actually see me measuring things or hear me measuring things very precisely. You know, ordinarily I'd say a glug of this, a glug of that, but in this case, the balance between the sweet and the sour and the salty is really key. And you know when you get bad pad Thai, when the balance is out of whack, like it's too sweet or it's just too generically salty or whatever. So you want to stick with the balance, and the best way to do that is, unfortunately, to measure a little bit. In this case, even though it violates my sensibilities, but so I've got small shrimp here, and I don't have that many. I'm on the second to last one now. I ordered like a third of a pound of them, so it looks like I have one, two, three. I've got 16 little baby shrimp, and I would not use more than this. You're probably thinking that's skimpy to feed to 3 or 4 people, but it's just fine. There's going to be plenty of other texture and flavor. So shrimp are peeled. Now, the chopping begins. Ho hum. Scallions are a big part. I've got a bunch of scallions here. I want about 4 of the scallions. Rinse those off. And I want the green parts only. It's funny, long ago I had a boyfriend who gave me a really freaking hard time one time when we were cooking together because I did not chop the scallions on a severe diagonal like the recipe said. And every time I chop up scallions now, I think of that. And while I will not tell you that you absolutely have to chop them up on a severe diagonal, it is a little bit prettier, it's true, and it since that's the standard Asian way of chopping them up, it makes your food look like, ooh, I cooked something Thai, how exciting, like not just this odd combination of noodles. So I am chopping things on a severe diagonal, but you don't have to. You may chop them up any way you like. And we're going to use some of these for garnish, and we're going to use some of these to throw actually in the pan with the stir fry. Let me get another bowl. We are short on bowls here. I'm putting about 2/3 of these in a bowl that I'm going to cook with, and the remaining third I'm putting in another bowl for the garnish, setting those aside. Now is about the time to tell you that you probably should have cleared off your kitchen counters pretty well because everything is going to end up being taken up with little tiny bowls of this and that. What else goes in with the scallions? Oh, odd ingredient number one. The stuff I have right now in front of me is labeled sweet radish, and the ingredients are radish, salt, and brown sugar. These are big pieces of it, and I'm going to slice them up. But you can also buy this stuff already shredded. I just happen to have this, I think, because somebody gave it to me a long time ago. And when I say a long time ago, I mean a long time ago. This stuff is seriously preserved. I'm sure I've had it for more than a year. So, like I said, half these ingredients can totally hang out in your pantry, just waiting for the one time you make pad thai. But once you have them, you're going to want to make pad thai more often. This stuff is a little weird. If you eat it on its own, it's a little funky from the salt and then strange from the sugar, and it's chewy. So I have sort of a small handful of it, maybe 2 tablespoons that I just chopped up into small pieces. And I threw that in with the scallions because they're going to be added at the same time. Working backwards, we need shallots and a couple cloves of garlic. All right, I've got a couple big cloves of garlic. I've got one big shallot and about 3 small ones. Shallots are expensive. It's the thing that always struck me back when I was totally broke and looking at all the recipes that called for shallots. Shallots are expensive. They're really nice for what they're for. You see them a lot in French cooking. They're kind of a cross between a mild onion and garlic. So they do add a certain richness, sort of special flavor. Unfortunately, they're all very small shallots and kind of a pain to deal with. And because they're so expensive, I'm a little more hesitant to go peeling that extra outer layer off the way I would with onions. So peeling these is going to take kind of a bit of time. They're not that expensive. Jesus. Should just lighten up. They're fine. Fine to peel off one extra layer of shallot in the name of not making myself crazy. Okay, I got 2 small ones peeled. I'm gonna treat myself with the big one. That should be easier. Yeah, shallots are nice because they're mild enough to eat raw in very thin slices, and we're gonna do that in our cucumber salad. And when they're cooked with butter, they're super delicious, which is why you see them so much in French food. You're probably wondering what small shallot versus large shallot is. Don't worry about it too much. You want, again, kind of a medium handful of chopped shallot in the end. But whether you have a little bit more or a little bit less is not gonna totally break the dish. This is definitely something where you can be a little more relaxed about the measuring. Yeah, the main problem I have with shallots is I do kind of think of them as the special occasion onion, and then I don't use them in everyday cooking, and then the ones I bought sit around, and then I finally go to use them and they've started sprouting. It is not a good way. My approach is not the best approach. I'm chopping up shallots here for the pad thai and for the cucumber salad. So first I'm going to take my large shallot. That one's easier to cut in rings. I've cut it lengthwise, and then I'm going to slice it into thin half rings, as thin as I can patiently slice them. The thinner the slices, the more delicate your salad is going to be. So I'm putting those into kind of a big bowl for mixing later with the cucumbers. And I'm slicing up, you know what, I'm slicing up maybe 3/4 of this big shallot into half rings. I don't need that much because I just remembered I also have the little white parts of the scallion, so I'm going to slice those up thin as well and add them. Basically, the cucumber salad is very flexible. You can use shallots, you can use scallions as the oniony factor, and then the cucumbers. And there's a little rice vinegar and sugar dressing and some kind of chili. And we'll explain a bit more about that. I got all my white ends of my scallions and my shallot chopped up, and that's set aside in a small bowl. Now I'm back to chopping up the other shallots. And these you want in fairly small pieces because you don't want a big bite of shallot in your dish. This is the other thing that drives me a little bit crazy about pad thai. Like, I never chop things in small pieces. I never do mise en place. I never measure things exactly, but pad thai is worth it. To chop these shallots into small pieces, I am first cutting lengthwise slices and then turning the shallot 90 degrees and slicing across. If you're still feeling not so confident with the knife, you can leave the root end on the shallot just to sort of hold everything together, sort of like training wheels. And very fussy cooking school tradition then calls for you cutting laterally in on the shallot to get fine dice, which I just always find a little silly because the onion rings, the various layers of the onion separate out, and you end up with tiny little slices no matter what. Anyway, that's probably going too far and too deep for an audio presentation. I'm sure you have no idea what I'm talking about. And these pieces, they don't have to be super regular. I mean, that's kind of why the cooking school approach is what it is, because restaurant cooking demands total consistency. But you're at home and you don't need that at all. You just need small pieces that are not going to scream shallot when you bite into one. There we go. Good enough. I'm going to scrape these into yet another little bowl, which at this point I should say having a bunch of little bowls, little ramekin-sized bowls in your house is very, very, very useful. How long have those noodles been going? They've been going a while. I think I'll strain off the noodles. I think they've been soaking for actually more than 20 minutes. So while I'm over here, strain all the water off them as much as you can. I'm just holding the noodles in the bowl and pouring off the water. Don't have to sit it in a strainer or anything like that. Now I'm chopping, well, peeling the garlic. That big smash was me smashing the garlic clove with the side of my knife. And I've got 2 cloves here, and they're pretty big cloves, and when they're big like this, the easiest way to mince them into small pieces is just to first slice sideways, thin slices. I'm putting those in a pile, slicing up the second clove. You could also be pressing these through your garlic press if you have it, and I love my garlic press and I use it a lot, but since I already have the knife out and I don't feel like cleaning the garlic press, it's just easier to keep chopping here. Anyway, at the end, you want fairly minced stuff. You want to stop periodically and scrape all the garlic off the side of your knife because that's where the big chunks get stuck. You just want to chop and scrape everything back into a pile, chop again. Pretty good. You don't want huge chunks of garlic, but they don't have to be super regular, tiny, tiny, tiny dice. All right, what else do we need here? Doing a little mental check. These things always sneak up on me, and I'm like, oh, one more thing. Oh, one more thing is the other odd ingredient, which is dried shrimp. These are totally worth seeking out because they're very cheap and they last in your pantry for years and years. These are tiny shrimp, tiny, tiny dried shrimp. They're about as big as my thumbnail. They smell really funky, kind of like the radish. You might be a little afraid if you ate one by itself, but mixed in with everything else, they're really good. They add a sort of chewy texture and, of course, an underlying funky shrimpiness. I put like a big heaping tablespoon here, and I'm my cutting board, and I'm chopping them up into little bits, kind of the same size you did the garlic in, maybe a little bit bigger. You just don't want any whole shrimp because that would be a little overwhelming. So I've chopped those up and I'm sliding them into the liquid, into the tamarind, rice wine, vinegar, and fish sauce and sugar mix. So that way they'll get a little rehydrated while they wait. Okay, I think that's all the main stuff. Oh, the cucumber salad. I've got a couple really small cucumbers here. I'm just gonna peel them. This cucumber salad is nice to know because it's very, very simple and very delicious. I end up making it on the side with pretty much every Asian-y thing we cook. Yeah, these are the small cucumbers. They're about not quite as long as my hand. I would use maybe 3/4 of a big regular size cucumber. And you could also use those teeny tiny little Kirby cucumbers. Those are very nice. They're super crispy and don't have any seeds in them, which is nice. All right, chopping the ends off the cucumbers, slicing lengthwise, and then cutting into little half circles. Thinner is better because they soak up more of the dressing, but don't make yourself crazy, as usual. And I realize the bowl I put the shallots in before is not big enough, so getting another big bowl out for the cucumbers. So like I said, the salad is cucumbers, the shallots we've already sliced up, and the scallions. And you can use all shallots, all white parts of scallions, use green parts of scallions. You just want a little bit of oniony flavor in there to offset things. You could use red onion too. The cucumbers are in there. I'm dumping in those little half ring slices of shallot and my little rounds of the white scallions. And I'm getting out my rice wine vinegar again. Oh no, I'm not. I never put it away. Here it is. And I'm pouring over, let's see, maybe this is something I should measure. Let's say a little less than 1/4 cup of rice wine vinegar. You don't want to totally drown your stuff. Grab a fork here. Stir that up. And I'm going to add a teeny bit of sugar, maybe like 1 teaspoon of sugar. Doesn't take too much. I'm not measuring the sugar. That was shaking in there with my fork. You want it to be just sweet enough to take off the edge of the vinegar. And in fact, I'm going to add like 1 tablespoon of water, again, just to mellow out the vinegar a teeny bit. Make that 2 teaspoons of water. What else goes in here? Oh, something a little hot. I happen to have a jalapeno. You could use little bird's eye chili. Again, you could use cayenne pepper, although that's probably the least desirable. If you're having it with pad thai like we are now, you want the chili to be something different from what's in the pad thai, just for variety. Jalapeno is good because it's a green vegetable kind of hot, as opposed to the dry red chili kind of hot. I'm just cutting this into very thin, thin rings. I don't want it to be a crazy hot salad, so I'm using about 1/2 of my small jalapeno. Red bird's eye chilies, like the whole red fresh bird's eye chilies, are nice too, just because they look pretty in with the green cucumber, with the pale green cucumber. And I'm gonna add just a little pinch of salt. You could also add fish sauce, of course, and that would be a little more traditional, I guess. But because there's gonna be so much fish sauce in the pot thai, I want this to taste a little bit different, even if it's not super authentic. This is basically, yum, tasting right now. Crunchy. This is basically just a way to add a little bit more vegetable to your whole pad thai experience. And have something a little fresh and raw on the side. Are we ready to go? The only other thing we need to do is pick some cilantro. Oh, bean sprouts. See, this is, yeah, this is where pad thai gets me. There's always like the extra ingredients I forget about. We've got some bean sprouts. They're in a bag. They're gonna need a rinse. And I've got some cilantro. I think this is sort of cheating, but it's already washed. Yeah. Just put the bean sprouts in my salad spinner and give them a rinse. Yeah, cilantro, I already had that washed, so that's a little cheating. So if you have cilantro and you haven't rinsed it yet, then go for it. You just want to pick the leaves off. If you have kids around, this is a perfect job for them. I'm just picking enough here for our meal right now. Just going to be like a pretty big handful. And then I can pick some more fresh tomorrow when I eat the leftovers. Basically, you want to keep all the garnishes separate from the main stuff when you stash it away for leftovers. You don't want all the extra things getting soggy when you reheat it. All right, I've got a pretty big pile of cilantro there all picked. And the last thing, I swear it's the last thing. I hope it's the last thing. And actually I'll leave this for now. The last thing is peanuts. I'll leave that aside for now because I do want to get the noodles going, and I can turn my back on them for a few minutes. So I'm using, as ever, my trusty cast iron skillet. And I have the heat turned on to high, and I am pouring about a tablespoon of peanut oil. If you don't have peanut oil, that's fine. Oh, there is one more ingredient, and that is the tofu. This always happens. Always. You know, it also would be good if I had like written out a list of the ingredients and posted it somewhere. I have a little block of tofu that is maybe, I would guess, 3 or 4 ounces worth of tofu. The standard tofu package size is 12 ounces, so this is either a third or a quarter. I pat it dry because it's been sitting in a little bit of liquid overnight. You want it dry so it'll crisp up nicely. And cut it into thin slabs that are about a quarter inch thick, and then I'm cutting those further. You want like big thumbnail size pieces. Basically putting the tofu in there for a little bit of texture. And the smaller pieces will fry up better. Fortunately, tofu is very quick and easy to chop up. Good God, I hope that's the last thing. So that's good. Meanwhile, my peanut oil has had a chance to heat up. Peanut oil is another one of those things that's really standard in Asian cooking because it heats up super hot without smoking. So it's great for stir frying where you have the oil sitting over sustained high flame. It's expensive, and if you can't get it, that's totally fine. You can just use regular vegetable oil. All right, I'm scattering the tofu in right now. And while that's sitting there, I'll explain to you why I use a cast iron skillet instead of a wok. It's not just because I am not a fan of specialized tools. We do have a wok. We have a couple of woks, actually, and Peter uses them all the time. But the premise of the wok doesn't really adapt to the home kitchen very well. The whole reason a wok is a wok is because it's usually set over like a bazillion BTU burner, like hotter than the sun. And the shape of the wok is meant so you're basically constantly stirring and all the ingredients are hitting the hot spot at the very bottom of the wok for just a few seconds. On your regular home stove, it just doesn't get anywhere near that hot, and you want things to sit and take on a little color. Just like I was talking about in a podcast a few weeks ago about browning and sautéing and all that. It's the same situation here. you want your tofu to brown a little bit, and the only way it's going to do that is if it's going to sit there in direct contact with the heat for a little while. And if you have a flat bottom skillet, then you have more room for the tofu to sit and you don't have to stir it. So don't ever feel like you have to buy a wok to do proper stir frying, because your home stove is just not up to the task. I will tell you, we have slightly doctored one burner on our stove to let out a little bit more gas, which I will not advise you to do because it's probably very dangerous. But if you want to look into that, it's a possibility. So you should not stir that tofu, tempting as it is. Oh, and I'm standing here, I'm remembering something else I was going to do. Something else that should go in this liquid mix, the rice wine and the fish sauce and the tamarind. I'm just going to put a glug of oil in there, like a tablespoon, because that will keep my noodles from getting too dried out. See, while that tofu is sizzling away over there, I am going to chop up a big handful of peanuts for the garnish. And these are unsalted peanuts. If your palate is really primed for salt, you could use salted peanuts, but that would make your pad thai taste maybe a little bit too much like a bar snack. So again, unsalted peanuts are something we have in the pantry just for pad thai and other Thai and Vietnamese dishes. And I'm chopping these into rough chop. I don't want to bite down on a whole peanut, but half a peanut or a quarter of a peanut is just fine. And I'm leaving those there on my cutting board with all my other little mise en place components. Okay, going back to the tofu, it's sounding a little sizzly. I need a better spatula to get that up. Just gonna try and flip these pieces. Yeah, they're getting nice and brown on one side. Yeah, the better you get at making pad thai, and the more you can remember what all goes in it, the more you can maybe chop up like 80% of the things and then, say, leave all the garnish chopping to right about now, because you do want to leave the tofu alone for a couple of minutes like we just did. And if you're hovering over it, you're going to want to turn it more often than it needs turning, and it's never going to get brown. Taking tofu out now, that's okay. Looking good. Oops, I'm dropping some on the floor, which you are not seeing, fortunately. All right, now we're gonna drop in the shrimp, and those take like a second, basically. Shrimp are very handy because they tell you when they're done. They're gray and translucent at this very second, and as soon as they hit the heat, they start turning color, which is so obliging of them. Basically, you just want to flip them once. These shrimp are so small, they can overcook very, very, very quickly. So as soon as you can see like a hint of pink creeping up on the top side, flip them over. And it's actually fine if you take them out before they're done all the way through, because we're going to throw them in again at the end. All right, taking these first shrimp that I already flipped and taking them out of the pan already. Because there is nothing I hate more than overcooked shrimp. It is the saddest thing. They have no taste at all. All right, so basically those have just gotten a little tiny kiss of heat. And yes, they're probably still a little squishy somewhere deep in their heart of shrimpy hearts, but they are gonna be fine. All right, this is smoking hot right now. I wanna turn that down just a teeny bit. All right, next step is just another little drizzle of oil, and I'm gonna throw in my finely chopped shallots and garlic. And I'm gonna get my eggs ready right here next to me while I stir the shallots and garlic around, just until they start smelling good, which only takes a few seconds. I am scraping them around, stirring them around in the pan really fast because I don't want the garlic to actually burn. All right, those smell good. They've turned a little bit translucent, and I'm gonna give my eggs one final little whisk and pour them over the shallot and garlic. Turning my heat back up to high. And I'm kind of just letting the eggs sit. I'm trying to distribute the shallots and garlic in there a little bit. Basically, I want the eggs to firm up. I don't want to keep stirring them like they're scrambled eggs, but I do want to get everything mixed in. And I want to get all the egg kind of nice and cooked through. All right, now I'm actually going to flip over those little bits of egg to get them cooked all the way through. And I'm chopping them up into little kind of 1-inch pieces because they're going to get distributed through the noodles. All right, and speaking of the noodles, now it's time to add them. Just picking them up and dumping them right in the pan. They're sizzling a little bit because there's hardly any liquid in there. Basically none. Now I am pouring in all that liquid mixture, the tamarind, the vinegar, the sugar, the fish sauce, the little funky dried shrimp, the cayenne pepper, a little drizzle of oil, that's all going in. It looks totally disgusting and brown. And I'm stirring everything. Kind of want to get the egg up off the heat and mixed in. I'm going to get all the noodles nicely coated. And I'm going to turn the heat down to about medium right now, because I want the noodles to simmer in this liquid a little bit and soften up just a teeny bit more without boiling the liquid away completely. That looks good. And right now, you're probably looking at this and saying, that is not going to serve any more than me. It doesn't look like very much at all. But once you add all the little extra stuff, once we add in the tofu and the shrimp and the bean sprouts and all the little garnishy things, it's going to be a lot more substantial. The liquid is actually almost all absorbed. So I'm going to add the scallions. I've got the scallions chopped on a severe diagonal and my little preserved radish, the weird salty sweet stuff, and I'm putting that in on top of the noodles. I'm just going to stir that in. I'm going to turn the heat back up to high because I want these scallions just to get a little bit wilted. Okay, I'm going to turn the heat off now and I'm going to slide in all the shrimp and the tofu. That's just going in there to get warmed up, but I've turned the heat off because I don't want to cook away any more of the liquid. The noodles are very nicely coated, but they're not dry and sticking together yet, which is kind of a common thing to have go wrong. So if you're in doubt, just turn off the heat. All right, so that is basically done. And the thing I've discovered about pad thai is you really want to give it a few minutes just to sit and for all the flavors to mix. So this is the point where can sit there and you can tidy up the kitchen. It's like all designed for cleaning as you go. Throwing all my millions of tiny little bowls in the sink. Wiping up the counter. Putting on the lid on everything. Let's see what else. I'm giving my cucumber salad a little stir. That's good. I'm eating some of my cucumber salad. That's very good. The one other thing I forgot to chop up are limes. Fortunately, that is quick and easy. These are just going to go in the garnish. Do not skimp on the limes. It really pulls it all together. Okay, I think that's been sitting there for long enough. I'm going to get out of yet another bowl and serve this up. You basically want a big portion of noodles. I don't really need to talk you guys through this. You're probably halfway to the dinner table by now. You're fine. Make sure you get all the various little bits in there, some chunks of egg, some of the tofu. It's all about the variety. And then you want a big handful of bean sprouts on top. handful of cilantro, big scattering of peanuts and scallions, and then a good squeeze of lime juice over the top. And the reason I am talking you through this is because it's very, very easy to forget some of the garnishes. And you're like, why isn't this quite as good as the last time I made it? And you're like, oh, because I forgot about the bean sprouts. So there you have it. You've got your pad thai. You've got your cucumber salad. All you need is a nice cold beer. And I'm looking in the fridge to see if we have any. Oh, I think all ours has been drunk, of course. Anyway, I'll make do. I hope you enjoy your pad thai. You've been listening to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. Please be in touch if you have any other suggestions. This pad thai recipe was by special request, so happy to take requests. If there's something you're curious about cooking and want to know how to do it, drop me a line and I will get on the case. Cookinginrealtime.com, and there's a link there for my email address, Zora@cookinginrealtime.com. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next week.